Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You guys know me at this point in time. You know that I like to search out interesting people. I travel the world looking for interesting people. People knock on my door trying to get on this show. But there's one guy that I could never get enough of, and his name is Dave Meltzer. He's joining us right now. He is my friend who travels the world trying to help people. He's got a brand new book about to come out. It's actually the number one new release on Amazon, Game Time Decision Making. But more importantly, before you go and buy that book, you should really pick up his first book, Connected to Goodness. Came out 2014. But Dave Meltzer is on the line. You can find him at davemeltzer.com, DaveMeltzer.com. This man is truly connected to goodness, and I am glad to call him my friend. Dave, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I got to record that introduction and replay it. So
it's going to be your ringtone.
Especially the good friend part. It was really good. And it's just such a pleasure to be back on the show. I'm so excited to share, hopefully, some inspirational words to help entrepreneurs and other people get what they want to be happy. Because I'm on a mission. There's a happiness problem in the world right now. And that's why I wrote my book, Game Time Decision Making, because I think people, if we make the right decisions based on the right assumptions with the right perspective, that's what creates happiness for us. And I really want to empower others to be happy.
Well, you know what? God bless you, because we need more of that. But let me just tell the world a little bit more about this guy. Let me just brag on him. I didn't have to go far to find him, because he also works with Entrepreneur Magazine and Entrepreneur Media. He hosts Elevator Pitch, which you can watch. It's a video series. You can watch it at entrepreneur.com. It's real easy. He's got so much going on here. Let me just read this, because this is the best way to do it. He's a CEO of Sports One Marketing, which he co-founded with Warren Moon, by the way. So that, you know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But he's a Forbes top 10 speaker, award-winning humanitarian, two-time national best-selling author with 25 years of experience as an entrepreneur and executive in the legal, technology, sports, and entertainment field. And it says right here, in all caps, and a damn good-looking man. How do you like that?
That's why you wear glasses. Thank you. That's awesome.
I was telling him, I was bragging, I'm going to China. He's like, yeah, I'll be to China next week. I'm like, oh, geez, I can't beat you, man. You are everywhere. I honestly don't know anybody that travels more than you. But can we talk about your last year where you had like 50th birthday parties? Just let's start there.
Yeah, well, because I travel so much, I came up with an idea. I'm the chairman of the Unstoppable Foundation with a mission to empower others to be happy. And so I wanted to build a community center in Africa. And I decided, because I travel, and graciously, I love to take people to eat. I'm like an old Jewish grandmother at heart. And so every city I go to, I take 10, 12 people out to eat for dinner. And I figured this year when I was 50, that I take people to dinner, and after I paid for dinner, I say to people, hey, would you mind, everybody, I'm happy to take care of dinner, but would you make a donation? I'm trying to build this community center. And I was guaranteed 50 of these because I travel 200 days a year. Well, anyway, at my first party that I gave on January 11th, when I turned 50, all these people came up and said, oh, I want to throw you a party, which was terrific, except for now some of those parties were not on my travel schedule. So instead of 200 days a year, it ended up to be about 240 days, because now I had to go to all these parties to help raise money. But the good news was we opened two community centers in Africa, which will impact eventually millions of people and change the face and the ripple effect of multiple lives by giving, you know, the older generation, connecting them to the younger generation of that wisdom, but also facilitating education, water, financial literacy, all the great things the community can gather together to be sustainable.
Well, I have never played Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the first segment ever. But Dave Meltzer, you are Ferris Bueller. I'm telling you. You get away with everything. You have accomplished everything with a smile on your face. We're going to find out a little bit about what is compassionate capitalism. I want to find out a little bit more about this book, Connected to Goodness, and the new book, number one new release in Amazon. It's coming out mid-July. Game Time Decision Making. A lot to talk about with this man. I love him. His name is Dave Meltzer. DaveMeltzer.com. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge, domestic, not domesticated, which matches my guest, Dave Meltzer. This man, he is domestic, but not domesticated, although I think his wife would disagree. I love this guy. I love Dave Meltzer. He is a man who is connected to goodness. I want to start right there. I want to talk about your book, Connected to Goodness. It's been out 5 years now. I can't even believe that. And then I want to get to compassionate capitalism, and then we're going to talk about your newest book, which is already number one on Amazon, hasn't even gone out yet. Connected to Goodness, tell us about this book.
You know, it was my original book that saved my life because my wife told me as I was going downhill that if I don't take stock in who I was and what I want to become, that she was going to leave me. And as you know, I was a multimillionaire at a young age and got lost in my own ego. And so this book is literally the step-by-step, seven principles, four key elements to each principle on how to take the what in your life, become inspired, make it the why, and then get out of your own way and make that why your how. And that how then takes you from a what of possibility to a mathematical advantage of inspiration, which is probability. And the how takes you to the reality or your perspective. And it is truly a think and grow rich for the new age, utilizing pragmatic business tips and tools along with inspiration and spirituality to help you manifest everything you desire in life and business.
It's a roadmap, and it has the tools that you need to take on the journey called life. Because guess what? On the road, even if you're on the roadmap, you're going to break down. Your car is going to break down. You're going to break down in life. You better have some tools to fix that along the way. Get back on the road. Keep going. And you know what? You got to just keep going. What they say is when you're going through hell, what do? Keep going. You don't want to get stuck there. I love you, man. I just love you. All right. Tell us about what is compassionate capitalism?
Second book that I wrote where I really wanted to focus in on the shift of the value paradigm, where I put faith in what I wanted in the universe and allowed things to happen. There's a three-step procedure. Historically, human nature of number one, the law of Goya, which is get off your ass. Then people realize the law of attraction, which includes that action, right? You can't have attraction without action. But the law of attraction is putting faith, what you think, say, do, and believe, and even the unconscious competencies of your personality, traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, and the energy you put out to attract that which you want. But where compassionate capitalism takes it a step farther is it, number one, acknowledges that we live in this vibration, that money, although it doesn't buy happiness, it allows you to shop. And if we shop for the right things, like community centers in Africa, we're going to be happy. But moreover, too, it allows you to take the hyper-aggressive state of getting out of your own way in the law of surrender. The law of surrender, most people get confused that they're sitting at home high, sick, broke on their mom's couch. No, the law of surrender is the hyper-aggressive state of understanding the differences between your truth consciousness and your ego consciousness. And your ego consciousness is all the fear-based factors and emotional things in our lives that accelerate us in the wrong trajectory or direction. Meaning the need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, inferior, superior, guilty, angry, frustrated, whatever it may be. The problem with that is that when we are out and working in the ego-based consciousness, our bodies, our mind, our soul is on fire. And what we have to learn to do is stop, drop, and roll, right? Go ahead, stop, raise the awareness that we're in the ego-based consciousness. Do not throw kerosene on the fire, but drop, lower your blood pressure, get to center, to a peaceful place so that we can be of service, provide value, live in a world of security, more than enough of everything for everyone. And yes, you can be a capitalist. You can make a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun.
God, you know, you said so much there. My gosh. I mean, I got to go sit down and I got to think about all that. That was intense, man. That was like being on the doctor's couch. You were analyzing me while I was sitting there going, oh, yeah, there's a lot going on. By the way, he has a podcast, too. It's The Playbook. Tell us about the podcast.
I'm blessed to be around the leaders of the world in sports, business, politics, and I get their playbook to success so that you can see, like Freaking Grow Rich, exactly the consistent behavior of those that carry the spirit of excellence.
I love it. I love it. And you know what else?
I feel good.
I feel good having you on the show. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dave Meltzer, DaveMeltzer.com, about his newest book that is number one new release on Amazon, Game Time Decision Making. Don't go anywhere. This is good. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
I feel nice.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, he is the CEO of Sports One Marketing, Forbes top 10 keynote speaker, award-winning humanitarian, two-time on his way to three-time national best-selling author, Dave Meltzer, DaveMeltzer.com, Sports Marketing, Sports One Marketing. You guys, honestly, I don't know anybody in my life that I could have higher praise for as a human being, a businessman, and just a good friend. And now a man with a gigantic head because I'm just blowing it up really big for him there. But he's part of the Entrepreneur crew. You can also watch Elevator Pitch at entrepreneur.com, probably the easiest place to find it. It's a video series, kind of like Shark Tank. You can find his podcast. Where's the best place to find? I mean, it's all over the place.
iTunes, Google Play, The top entrepreneur podcast in the world. Right? So come join me. I'd love it.
It's beautiful. It's called The Playbook. But the new book coming out, it is a number one new release in Amazon already, Game Time Decision Making. Maybe you could riff on that for us.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I was blessed. Forbes recognized it as the best read for the summer 2019. And it's because it goes a little deeper into how we make decisions, not just consciously the assumptions that we make. In fact, people ask me all the time, how the heck did you lose over $100 million? And I'll tell them I made one bad assumption. And when I analyze how game time decisions are made through the eyes of the greatest sports coaches, managers, owners, and players, I saw some similarities of how the conscious works, how the subconscious works, and how the unconscious mind effectuates those decisions. And a lot of people don't know when to use their head and when to use their gut and how decisions are made and how to be statistically successful. Because the truth is, if you can raise your awareness, if I can teach you and empower you to raise your awareness so that decisions are certain and decisions are easy, your life will change instantly. In fact, I always tell people, if I can raise your awareness just to make one simple decision on whether to buy or sell, you'd be a millionaire before the sun went down. You'd be a billionaire before the end of the week, simply by raising your awareness of whether to buy or sell. So this book will get into that. It will help accelerate your life and exponentially grow both your fulfillment and your pocketbook.
I love it. I love it. The book is called Game Time Decision Making. It's going to be available mid-July on newsstands everywhere. But right now it is available, number one new release on Amazon, Game Time Decision Making. By the way, I didn't even mention this, but it's a cool little factoid, that Dave was also a CEO to sports super agent Lee Steinberg, played by Tom Cruise in the movie Jerry Maguire. And but let me ask you, before we go, you went from being an extremely wealthy multimillionaire to bankrupt. But what was it? Faith? Was it just pure tenacity? What was it that allowed you to start over and not be bitter?
It was four things. One, gratitude. I live my life in gratitude, so I'm an appreciator. I appreciated everything that happened to me, and my goal was to add value to it and give it away. Two was forgiveness. Obviously, when you make that many miracles, I mean mistakes and lessons, I call them miracles. When you make that many, you have to learn to forgive yourself so you can forgive others. Third is accountability. I learned to be 100% accountable, not to blame others, not to live in shame and not to justify anything, but to illuminate everything, all my actions, and ask myself, how and what did I do to attract this to myself? And what am I supposed to learn from it? And finally, truly learning inspiration, not only to inspire others, but allowing myself to live in a world where things come through me for others. And so I changed my trajectory to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential instead of attaching my emotions and happiness to an outcome that was an illusion. And those four things truly allowed me to recover and to exponentially grow and accelerate far past where I was as a multimillionaire in my 30s.
Gratitude, forgiveness, accountability. Give me one word for number four.
Inspiration.
Inspiration. I'm writing this down, putting it on my wall. You are truly an inspiring man, Dave, and I really appreciate you as a friend. I love watching you on Facebook. I love your wife. I love your kids. I love watching you in your life. I love your, man, your drive. Where does the energy come from to have such drive? Where do you derive that from?
Because I focus on truth consciousness. I focus on the inspired life. I don't believe that I can make energy happen. So I connect to that which inspires me as much as I can. And I try not to waste energy on the biggest soul sucker on earth, which is your ego-based consciousness, all of those different fearful things that we have. And I try to connect to goodness.
Ego-based consciousness. Give me your morning routine real quickly. What is the one or two things you do in the morning? Because I got to know how you start your day.
I live my life to wake up at 4 a.m. every day, and I meditate when I first wake up for 20 minutes. I instantly change and get to the gym for a minimum of 1 hour a day, and then I'm always a student in my calendar right when I get home, meaning I study everything in person, on the phone, email, and social media. I love you, brother. Thank you so much.
You are awesome. He heard the music start, so he's like, I'm ending right here.
I'm a pro.
No, I've got 30 seconds. Tell people how they can find you. What are the best ways to find Elevator Pitch, the playbook, the new book, of course, Amazon. Yeah. Give me all those things.
David Meltzer. Just search David Meltzer, at David Meltzer, dmeltzer.com, davemeltzer.com. But if you remember David Meltzer, you will find me on Instagram, Facebook, in LinkedIn. It's all there at David Meltzer.
Gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, inspiration. You have inspired us, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. Love you, brother.
Keep up the good work. I love you.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, two very dynamic men on the show today. As I said, I love David Meltzer. He's something special. And after reading a little bit about our next guest, Kevin Breeding, kevinbreeding.com, I'll say that enough times, you guys will be able to check him out later on. I think we have another very dynamic, very interesting guest, and I'm hoping so, because I don't know, and I'll bring him up now, I don't know, Kevin, how with a life that you have led up to this point, and I understand a little bird told me you're a car guy, which makes us already buddies, because I'm a car guy.
Yes.
You worked with Walmart in over 53 countries in your career. As the director of advertising for Walmart stores, what a huge job that is. But that in itself is like one of those lifetime experiences that must have given you like five lifetimes of experience, because working in 53 countries all by itself is a wild thing to have to learn how to navigate all the different cultures and the language barriers and all of these types of things, and the different advertising it takes in each one of those things. So that would make you an advertising expert. Interestingly, though, you are now an entrepreneur's mentor and coach, corporate consultant, speaker, and author. And I'm loving what I'm reading here. I'm going to let you explain your company now and what you do, because I think you'll do a better job than I will. So tell the people what you're doing now after doing the job you had, which was already a monster of a job. But please.
How I got to where I'm at, honestly, it was something that I fell into. At the time, just before I started my consulting and coaching business, I was a partner in an advertising agency, and just didn't really enjoy what I was doing. And out of the blue, in the span of about 10 days, four people called me, and they all asked the same question. They all said, hey, I'm just curious, would you ever consider being my coach? And, of course, you know, I was like, I don't do that. I'm an advertising guy. So here, let me, you know, I'll call Joe Polish and find out who to introduce you to or whatever. And, you know, and so I do. Well, then I'm sharing this conversation with several other folks, and my coach says to me, he says, your audience are big people, so I'll just do it. He says, hey, Kevin, don't be a dumbass. If people are calling you, offering to give you money, the answer is yes.
Right.
And then you figure it out. And seriously, that's how my coaching business started. I decided to start as a side hustle. And over the course of about 10 months, it got to the point where I couldn't ignore it anymore. And sat down with my business partner and exited the agency. And now I'm just spending my time coaching entrepreneurs and business leaders all over the world.
Right. But yours is a little bit different. And I didn't get a chance to spend much time on trying to figure out what it was, but it spoke to me. Total Life Blueprint. So it isn't just about business. And I do on this show all the time say, guys, ladies, it's an entire 360-degree makeover that we all need. And because it is a ripple effect. Everything we do, it ripples out into our families, into our businesses, into our relationships. And I believe that's what your whole thing, the Total Life Blueprint, that's what it's all about, is it not?
It completely is. Because, you know, the worst thing that entrepreneurs say, business leaders too, but entrepreneurs in particular, is they'll use a phrase that sounds something like this. I'll get to that when I get my business to X dollars. They'll say, I'm going to work on my health when I get to $500,000, or, you know, I'm going to spend some time focusing on spirituality whenever I hit the 10 million mark, or I need to go back and rebuild my relationships as soon as I get my, you know, money where it needs to be. And I can tell you firsthand, because I post my time with Walmart and whenever I was at the height of my career, I also went through a bankruptcy and a divorce within the same 6-month period.
Oh!
A business partner that skipped the country.
Oh my gosh!
And so whenever I tell you that I think there is more to business, once you understand the value of a dollar and the value of a second, you will change your life forever.
Okay, so let's talk about this. I have a couple of notes. It says 7 principal assets that must be attended to. And we're going to walk through mm-hmm. those in a few minutes. And that's the thing is, it's just like with Dave Meltzer on just a little while ago. You know, it's not like there's hundreds of these principles. Some of them are pretty darn basic. But you got to start with the basics. And you said it right. I love even how I wrote it, is the fact that they must be attended to. Principles in your life, in your business, in your everyday existence. If you ignore those, and like you said, I'll get to those later, they can take their toll, right?
Yeah, they totally do. I absolutely believe that work-life balance is unattainable. That's not what this is about. It is understanding that at any given time, you're going to have one of these take over. If you ever heard the words, you have cancer, all of a sudden, everything goes focused into your health. It's going to change the makeup of the 7 assets and how they interact with each other. If you're in the middle of a product launch, your profession is going to absolutely gobble up the rest of the things, but you cannot ignore them. when you ignore them is when you have health issues, when you have, you know, divorces that occur, you lose a relationship with one of your kids. And it's not that, you know, you have to try to keep all of them even. It's that you have to keep the antenna up so you're paying attention. And I believe that these are the universal seven that we all share, and that you have to ultimately pay attention and invest in each one of them at some level in a normal sequence and system, what I call rhythms. Otherwise, you're going to get out of balance. You may end up with a, you know, $100 million business, but you're not going to have your health and you won't have anybody to share it with. Mm.
Okay, we're going to learn about these seven principal assets. And I love the fact that you talk about spirituality, because for so long it was just so taboo to even talk about, you know, what, whether I'm Jewish, Christian, whatever, you know. But we're, this is what this show is about, to examine what each of us uses to attain success. And what is success? We'll talk a little more on the other side. Kevin Breeding with us, kevinbreeding.com. Two E's, B-R-E-E-D-I-N-G, kevinbreeding.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
In every life we have some trouble.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Don't worry, be happy now.
Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses. Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, the Rolling Stones, Start Me Up, and that's really what this is all about right now. We're going to get started talking about some stuff that in business and in the business world can be considered taboo, things that we don't want to really talk about, religion, politics, stress, and what happens to you. That last song, which was Don't Worry, Be Happy, says, and when you worry, your problems double. You know, it's like stress is a big thing in the world today. And, you know, what are people doing about it? More and more people, I hear the word meditation. But you mentioned something there, Kevin Breeding, our guest. You mentioned spirituality. So let's talk about stress and spirituality and some of these principal assets. But spirituality must be one.
It absolutely is. And even though it has been taboo forever, I come at this from a perspective that says it doesn't matter what your tradition, what your practice is, or if, even if you have no practice, is that there also is a spirit element, an energy element to us. And so trying to separate, for years I tried to keep my personal faith walk out of my business, and I wouldn't talk about it. And in some form, I was only showing up 80%, because, I mean, it's been an intense part of who I was my entire life.
Right.
And it's not about trying to bang people over the head and get them to agree with me. You know, I've got clients that are Hindu or agnostic or Jewish or, you know, nothing. And they just come at it and realize that we have to recognize that we have a relationship with, whether it is God or universe or just the other spirit energies of people around us. And trying to hide that means that less than the full us shows up in our business every day. And so you don't have to be somebody that's deeply structured like I am, but you're coming at it and realizing that there is a spirit being that's also sitting at the desk with you. It's that energy that moves you forward. It's that wisdom, that sense, that you know, sort of intuition, if you will. That, right. I think all of that is wrapped up in there, and you have to service it in a way that is continuing to progress. Hmm. It's not something that sits stagnant. If you don't feed it, ultimately it will atrophy just like any other muscle.
Right.
And then you lose your ability to kind of know, you know, what to do when.
Right.
And
then you're in the dark.
How to approach it.
Right. Because you.
Yeah.
Well, so that leads me to, each of us has a secret weapon that can be powered up virtually on demand. I'm reading this off of some stuff that you've done. Is this the secret weapon for you?
Actually, surprisingly, it's not. I've played piano since I was four. I'm 51. And so, you know, for 47, almost 48 years now, that's been a central piece of who I am, and it's a way that I relax. For years, up until about 2.5 years ago, I did not think that my personal passion and interest of piano and music was really that beneficial in my business until I started to notice a pattern. I have clients that also are, you know, they're painters, they're musicians, they're sculptors, they're writers, they're people who like to work out, whatever. And I realize and recognize that whenever they spend time expressing that passion and interest in playing, they come back with a more clear mind. And so I started to test. I brought my piano into my office. And so now, before I sit down with a client, and my primary job is to listen and get into the nooks and the crannies of what's going on in their life so I can help them sort of jump forward, I sit down and play before I do a client call because it opens up my mind creatively. I can hear nice. Things differently. I can sense things differently. I had a client that he couldn't figure out how to get his agency over the hump. Major guitarist, was a tour quality guitarist. And I asked him, I said, you know, you've been hung up now for, you know, a good, you know, 60 days here. When's the last time you played your guitar? And he said, I hadn't had time for it in a couple of months. And he used to play every day. And I told him, I said, between now and next week when we talk, I want your guitar in your office in front of your whiteboard. And whenever you're sitting here strategizing about your next move, you're just picking. And it doesn't matter what you play. Just pick. And wouldn't you know it, he came back and he said the next week, he said, you know what, I came up with two of the best ideas I've ever had. I've already implemented one. And it's, so there's something about how we express ourselves from an energy standpoint. So it is sort of a mix of spirituality, I suppose. But being able to express yourself, me bringing music in, it makes me think at a higher level. It makes me hear better. It opens up my ability to know when to move into a topic with one of my coaching clients. And it's just amazing. So now I sit down and play, you know, 2 or 3 times a day.
So in essence, since it's something that we love because we have done it because we loved it, whether it's painting, for me it was airbrushing. I became a pretty darn good airbrush artist, and I have one of the airbrushings I did recently. My brother came in, he goes, did you do that? And immediately I could just feel almost like endorphins, like, yes, I did. And I love it. So it actually is helping us tap into a higher power, higher nature, or just a more openness. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, completely. And it doesn't matter, you know, one of my guys is a big workout guy. And same sort of thing. Whenever he gets bogged down in his business, I always just flip over and ask him, I said, when's the last time you had a serious workout? And he said, you know, I hadn't had one in the last 10 days. And I'm like, well, dude, there's your issue. Go work out and then let's talk. There is something about just that freeing nature of something that we love and that we're passionate about,
right,
and integrating it into daily work.
All right. Total Life Blueprint, Kevin Breeding. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 7 principal assets that we must attend to. This is really good stuff. I enjoy it. I like this kind of conversation. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Then I saw her face.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
One of those guys is Kevin Breeding. Another one is who you heard earlier in the show. If you didn't, you should listen to the earlier part with Dave Meltzer. But kevinbreeding.com, B-R-E-E-D-I-N-G.com, kevinbreeding.com. We each have 7 principal assets that must be attended to. And this is where it's a very compact 5-minute segment here. I'm just going to throw it to you. Give us those 7, Kevin.
Yeah, it's real simple. The 7 assets are your profession, your relationships, your health, your self-development, your spirituality, passions and interests, and then your life purpose.
And is there a most important one in there?
You know, there is, but it's different for everybody. For years, I thought mine was my profession because it was all about my business. Now that I have remarried, married my childhood sweetheart, we've known each other since we were 12, the relationships is my most important. Mm. When those are right, everything else around me is right.
Mm. The last one you said, your life purpose. What is yours? I'm just curious.
My life's purpose is helping people unpack what they're capable of. I didn't know that that's what it was. I thought I was an advertising guy, a storyteller. But figuring out how to unlock people's potential is my purpose. And it started with my own, and now it's with everybody that I work with my kids, with my family, with, you know, friends and neighbors. That's what I'm about, is helping people realize there is a champion locked up in there. You just have to unleash it.
Kevin Breeding is an entrepreneur's mentor and coach. Total Life Blueprint. KevinBreeding.com. Kevin, how important is it to fail in life?
Oh, I think it's absolutely critical. In fact, tell me one thing that you've learned in life that was a major change element in your life that didn't come out of adversity.
Right. No,
we learn nothing out of success. It all comes out of failure.
I absolutely agree. When I'm learning that more later in life, and now I'm trying to talk about it as much as I can, because I think it's so important that we experience falling down onto our knees and literally having to find out what our spiritual nature is and searching for it, because otherwise we claw at other people. You know what, when they say when somebody is drowning, if you go to help them and you swim over to a drowning person, they will drown you too, just trying to get a mm-hmm. gulp of air. So there's a special way you have to approach a drowning person. But the thing is that when you're drowning and there's nobody helping you, sometimes you just got to go down, take that one last breath, and then you learn what prayer is about and you learn your spiritual nature. And guess what? Somehow, miraculously, an answer comes and you touch the bottom and go, I didn't realize I was only 4 inches off the bottom. I thought it was, 100 feet deep, and I push up and I'm okay.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, that's the whole thing. Whenever I went through that divorce and bankruptcy, you talk about something that I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy,
right?
But I wouldn't trade it for the world now. It taught me who I was at my most basic core.
If you had a little bit of advice for entrepreneurs that are struggling in life, I mean, even for anybody that's struggling in life, what do you say to people when they call you and go, oh, man, my marriage is falling apart and on and on and on. How do you approach it?
First thing I tell anybody to do, whether they're at rock bottom or they're on their way there, it's going to turn into something of gratitude, something of service. Whenever I'm in a spot where I think I'm at the end of my rope, the right answer every single time is find one thing, related or not, to be thankful for, and then go serve somebody who cannot benefit you in any way. Hmm. When you'll do those two things, you quit focusing on the thing that you think is taking you down, and ultimately you'll find your solution sitting right there in front of you most of the time.
It's funny how you didn't know that Dave Meltzer said pretty much the same thing and focused on the word gratitude. And I think that more of us need to make sure that we have gratitude in our life. And if we do start to understand what gratitude is, everything from the look on your face changes in that moment. Everything.
Yep.
The way you deal with problems, the way you deal with successes, it all changes, and it all has to do with just simply having a bit of gratitude. Kevin Breeding, you're the best. Thank you, man. Fantastic.
My pleasure. Thanks for letting me be here.
Yep. Total Life Blueprint. You can find out more at kevinbreeding.com. And I think this was one of my favorite shows so far. In the first half of the year, because I have some pretty fun shows, you know. All right, Kevin, thank you. We'll talk to you again. I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to be fishing with Joe Polish next weekend. And I will tell him you said hi. That's about it. I'm going to ramble on right now. We'll see you guys all next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. But now it's time for me to
go. This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.